Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This excessive concern with little weasels is a sickness. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. You don't have to accept it. There are probably very few people that would be as honest with you about that, but you should go consult a psychologist or a psychiatrist and have him help you with this excessive concern, how you are devoting your life to weasels.
Weasels in question were ferrets after the city of New York banned owning ferrets as pets during the Giuliani administration, and the former mayor was responding there to a ferret owner who called in to the mayor's radio show at that time on WNYC to complain. And Rudy Giuliani, as mayor, well, the New York Times today has a front page mostly about the confrontational tone, like right there, that the mayor often took with ordinary New Yorkers who called him up on that show. They also have some choice clips on their site as examples, including that WNYC archivist Andy Lancet assisted with this project. And we will listen to some more of the clips now and talk to New York Times correspondent Michael Powell, who wrote the article, about seriously the clues these clips contain about what kind of president Rudy Giuliani might be. So hi, Michael Powell. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
And I guess, really, before we get to the next clip, this is an article for the rest of America, not so much for New York. I mean, New Yorkers know Rudy Giuliani in all his complexity. This is a side of him, you know, not the reassuring 9/11 Rudy, not the pro-abortion Rudy or the tough on foreign policy Rudy, the day-to-day Rudy that they haven't gotten to see. Do you look at it that way?
Very much so. I mean, it's kind of a letter to America saying, look, here's, you know, what you're seeing is certainly a piece of him, and here's the rest of him.
So let's play one of the other clips you've chosen. This is from August of 1998, after a cop shot someone with a water gun that looked like a real gun.
I had a quick question on the incident last week where a kid was shot while playing with a water pistol.
Well, you're a little wrong there about the playing with a water pistol. And I don't know if you consider a 17-year-old a kid. 17-year-old, 2:30 in the morning, riding around with a machine gun that happens to be a toy machine gun that looks precisely like a real machine gun. So now we got the facts straight.
It's a machine gun?
Yes.
I heard it was a toy pistol.
I shouldn't say dead wrong. You're wrong. You just see the picture in the Daily News? It's a replica of a MAC-10, I believe.
But it's a water gun, is it?
It's a water gun that looks precisely like a real gun, and
right.
It's a machine gun.
Right.
And it was 2:30 in the morning, which means it's dark out.
All right, and that goes on for a while, that exchange on that radio show. But Michael, why'd you choose that clip?
You know, it does kind of go on and on, and I think, you know, what you see are two things. I mean, one is that you see the mayor, it seems to me, drawing, you know, a fair distinction. I mean, he's very quick to defend the police almost always, and here he's saying, look, you know, you have to go beyond what appears to be, I mean, a kid shot with a water pistol. On the other hand, I mean, it's intriguing too, because of course what he's doing, even in the beginning of that clip, is conflating the real with what in fact we know, which is that it was a water pistol. And, you know, I do think that one sometimes hears in these shows, I mean, these shows were not given particularly, probably on either side, to subtlety. And, you know, but what is often lost is, I think, there's a complexity there. And in fairness, he's trying to point to one part of it, but in doing that, he's, I think, overlooking another complexity.
And I think that clip, and we'll play a few more, contains some of what's attractive and unattractive about Rudy at the
yeah.
same time, or depending on who the listener is. He pulls no punches, calls it like he sees it, gets to what he thinks is the root of the issue, but also harshly scolds people and seem kind of cold to the loss of life that resulted in this case, justified though the cop may have been.
Yeah, and I think that's what I guess I was struck by in a number of these clips as I listened to them, and of course I listened to more than the clip because I listened to the whole conversation, is that, right, one thinks, okay, that's a perfectly fair point to make. However, kid did die, and I guess that sometimes one looks for, in these conversations, some nod towards, as I say, that sort of larger complexity, and as often comes up, not finding it.
That line that I used in the minute before the news at 10 o'clock to promote this segment, you had this great line about Rudy on the radio. He grooved to the sound of his own roar. Where did that phrase come from?
From
your head?
From my head. And also, I mean, of course, as you know, I mean, I was in New York at the time, albeit with a different paper, and I mean, I've listened to this radio show over the many, the many years, and yes, I mean, it's always been, it strikes me, a fascinating window into his psyche in a way that's very unusual in a public official.
So he grooves to his roar here on the issue of assault weapons and the NRA. The content of this is already coming back to haunt him with some NRA members, but that's the content. You chose it for the tone. Let's listen from May 5th, 1994.
While I was coming in this morning, I was listening to someone from the NRA say that this will mean that people now will not be allowed to defend themselves. Now, the reason why the NRA has lost all credibility are statements like that. People do not need assault weapons in order to defend themselves. Assault weapons are, by definition, they are attack weapons. They're weapons that are used for offense. And to have the NRA fighting against this, and actually to get to the point where it passes the United States Congress or the House by only one vote, really actually absolutely remarkable. Overwhelming majorities of people in almost every place in the country support a ban on assault weapons, and it passed Congress by one vote. It really is absolutely astounding that the NRA continues to have influences in areas in which they make no sense at all. And the notion that a ban on assault weapons is going to mean that we're going to do away with all weapons, I mean, that's a whole issue and a whole battle that has to take place later.
Lost all credibility, no sense at all. And yet it's funny, I wonder if some of the listeners right now who are getting angry and aggravated with Rudy in the previous clip, but support the ban on assault weapons, might say, yeah, good for him, you go, guy.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and I think that one of the things that was interesting to go back through these clips is that you're reminded that he was seen as a sort of sometimes even an arch conservative only in a particular context when he was mayor, that is a New York context, that on a number of these questions, whether it's illegal immigrants, his touting of universal health care, and certainly his position on weapons, he is one could easily imagine really any Democratic nominee for president nodding their head at this, and in fact he might even state it more bluntly than they would. So I mean, I do think that this is to a certain extent the paradox of Rudy.
We are going to open up the phones, listeners, and as I said, I think this is an article really for the rest of America, but this confrontational stance of Rudy Giuliani, is this the Giuliani you remember as mayor, the Giuliani of these clips from his WABC radio show that he had at the time? Is this something that recommends him as a presidential candidate or makes you wary? I mean, that's really the relevant question. Is this something that recommends him as a presidential candidate or makes you wary? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Does this bring back memories of Rudy? Did you forget this side of him? Was this the indelible side of him that's completely unforgettable? Do you want a president who conducts business this way day to day, or do you want to avoid someone who speaks in superlatives and absolutes and who treats call-in constituents this way? 212-433-9692. And Michael, let me ask you about this, because you don't go there in the article. Your article is factual and historical and has the quotes, and then when you go to the NewYorkTimes.com website, it has the audio. But the central question for me is what I just asked the listeners. What does this collection say about what kind of president Rudy Giuliani would be? Is that beyond the scope of your analysis?
Well, I mean, it's not... I mean, it's beyond the scope of what I wanted to do, as you say in this article, was simply say, look, there is this other Rudy Giuliani, as you say, that many New Yorkers are very familiar with. But I think that, you know, one could fairly look at this and say, well, you know, right, what does this tell us about him as a president? And I think what it certainly, as a potential president, I think it certainly raises some questions. I mean, it certainly suggests a man of strong passions and strongly held beliefs, and some that run very much counter to his national image. On the other hand, I mean, I do think that the willingness to kind of get in people's faces and perhaps not to see subtleties that are there, sure, I mean, I think that those raise perfectly fair questions to ask of him. And you know, and of course, I mean, I suppose one of the answers could be, well, you know, part of what radio is performance art. You know, that it's not, you know, it's not as though this is
not what he does behind closed doors,
yes,
with General
precisely.
Musharraf.
But on the other hand, I mean, there are enough stories about his confrontations behind closed doors to make this not, you know, I mean, this is not as though this radio show existed off on some island. I mean, I do think it offers something of a window into his personality, the true personality.
Liz in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think that his style, and style alone I'm talking about, makes him a very good mayor for New York City, but a very poor national president.
Why one but not the other?
Because I think his style is very New York. I'm a native New Yorker, and I like the style. I feel like I have a little bit of the style. I've tried living in other cities, and it doesn't work in other cities. It's a brashness that is offensive to other places, and it's in New York. I find it easier to be around because it's honest, but it doesn't work other places.
So you have the style yourself.
I have an edge.
I think I'm glad
as much as him.
I don't know. I think I'm glad I'm not your husband. Like, would you say to me, you have that opinion? You want those kinds of drapes? You should go see a psychiatrist.
No, I'd have to be pushed pretty far to get to that point. But I might get to the point of just being brutally honest.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Rick in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning. I'm an NRA Life member, and I have to say, when I worked in New York City for 7 years under Giuliani, I loved/hated him. The reason I'm supporting him is not because, obviously, I disagree with his position on the Second Amendment. However, I clearly know what it is, and that's important for me. I don't believe, as an independent, that Hillary, who is probably going to be the person he's running against, has a clear position on anything other than getting herself elected.
Does it make you trust him any less, the fact that he came out recently and said he was for the assault weapons ban and other things like that in the 90s because he would do anything he needed to do to reduce crime in New York City? And now that problem is somewhat solved and he feels differently about personal guns after 9/11, does that make you trust him less? Do you think he's, you know, weaseling himself into your good graces, or do you think that's honest?
Well, it's clearly sophistry. I mean, the assault weapon ban in New York City, as someone who's worked in the court system for 18 years, I can tell you, had absolutely no effect on crime. What had an effect on crime was him increasing the amount of police officers and running everybody who was brought in for anything for warrants. But he can't say that to a national audience. The fact is, the New York City Council and the people in New York City simply hate guns, and these were the big boogeyman. So he supported it when he was mayor for political purposes. So-called assault weapons, in quotes, have been available in this country since about the turn of the century, if you use the definition that's used by the gun control movement.
Rick, I'm gonna leave it there because I don't want to get too deep into that issue right now. Keep
sure.
It on Rudy, but I appreciate it. Call us again, okay?
Okay, bye.
Lewis in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lewis.
Brian, hi. Can you hear me?
Just fine.
Well, actually, thank you so much, first of all, for broaching this topic, because the media, apparently the rest of the media, are just elsewhere. I looked at the Times this morning, and I went to my computer, and it's a fascinating story. And as someone who's a lifelong native of the metropolitan area, and now the city, I'm a liberal Democrat. I always could not stand Giuliani. And I think, for me at least, my impression of him, I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all. What actually mildly surprises me is that the best newspaper in the world, and it's my opinion, the New York Times, would sort of, in an expose, almost expose-like fashion. I think it's great journalism. It's excellent, and it's fascinating. But I think the ultimate effect will be just to cement people in their issue positions. But I see it.
You mean if they like him, they will like this. If they don't like him, they will not like this.
Especially people from outside of New York. They'll see the 9/11 lens and all of that. But...
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out over time how people around America who have not heard this Rudy day to day will react. And Michael Powell from The Times, maybe you'll find out with listener or reader reaction over time after this article gets around. Here's another one that's controversial in the Republican primary races. He supported Governor Cuomo for reelection in 1994 over the Republican George Pataki. But again, it's about his take-no-prisoners tone.
I was on your campaign committee, I remember, 2-3 years ago, coming down on Saturday mornings on your Lexington Avenue office, listening to you.
Sure, I remember that. Those were great days.
And I used to listen to you on your position on crime, cutting taxes, reducing the government. And I just want to say I disagree on your endorsement of Cuomo.
Tell me what part of it you disagree with.
The way when you used to talk about cutting taxes, your position on the debt penalty. I listen to Pataki, and it's the same thing.
No, it isn't. It isn't the same thing. And you're not listening, in all due respect, Vincent, you're not listening carefully enough. What George Pataki is giving you is a phony tax plan, not a real one. George Pataki is saying the following. He says that the economy of the state is going to grow by 6%. And therefore, what he is going to do is raise expenses by 3%, and he's going to lower taxes by 3%. He's going to raise spending by 3% and lower taxes by 3%. Now, first of all, believe me, having done this job as mayor of New York City for 10 months, you're not going to lower taxes if you raise expenses. That's phony. That's a game that's played because you don't want to make any tough choices and you don't want to lose any votes by telling people the truth. That's the part that offends me in this tax program. Second, the economy of the state is not growing by 6%. The economy of the state is growing, but it's growing slower than that.
And the mayor goes on in that phone call, and Michael Powell, again, he's telling this caller who wants to see lower taxes, you're not listening carefully enough, and doesn't just say he has a policy disagreement with Pataki. He calls the tax cut phony, and that's his tone.
Yes. I think what was kind of striking in all of these conversations is that you do sort of look for, okay, well, is there a point at which he's going to say, you know, I see that point or whatever. It's a very Manchean view of the world. It's darkness and light. To his credit, he doesn't back off of that. I mean, in this sense, I do think, this is what he was saying on the campaign trail, and by God, that's what he was going to say to a, supporter who calls him on the radio.
And so I guess the question for America is going to be, after 8 years of with us or against us, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, John Bolton, does America want another 4 years of that? And that's the question that I think the country hasn't gotten their minds around yet.
I think that's terrific. I mean, it sort of gets right at the question.
And that's where we will leave it. Michael Powell's article, analyzing Rudy Giuliani's radio show on WNYC, on WABC during his years as mayor, is on the front page of The Times today. The audio is there in a link when you go to their website. And listeners, in case you're interested, I'll be a guest on MSNBC talking about these Rudy tapes this afternoon at 12:40. Michael Powell, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks very much.
This excessive concern with little weasels is a sickness. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. You don't have to accept it. There are probably very few people that would be as honest with you about that, but you should go consult a psychologist or a psychiatrist and have him help you with this excessive concern, how you are devoting your life to weasels.